You're listening to the Professionally Insecure Podcast. Join hosts Jared Mariyama and Mark Morris as they explore the space between success and failure, perception and reality, and all the other junk floating around in our heads.
Hey everybody, it's the holidays and we wanted to check in with a sort of different kind of episode for us so far. I am joined here, of course, by my co-host Mark. Say hello, Mark.
Hello.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Jared.
We have not had an episode for a while, so we just wanted to check in and do sort of a, there's no guest today, so it's a little bit different. We just wanted to check in because it's been a while and just do kind of a year-end wrap-up. We kind of got used to doing this when we had the Squared Co. podcast, and it's been a while since we've done one where we're just sort of talking. So if that's not your thing, now's the time to go on and change the podcast.
Don't tell them that. Don't give them an out. Stick around. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll try to make it make sense with the theme of this podcast, but it probably won't. I'll force some issues just to say we can wrap it in. But otherwise, think of this as we're keeping you company around the holidays. We're aiming for this to be airing the week of Christmas. I don't know exactly when. But maybe you'll save it for Christmas. So anyway, hoping this year is a better Christmas than last year. So last year for me was a little tough. It was the first Christmas in, I can't even remember. I don't think ever that I was alone for Christmas, like literally alone for Christmas. I had gone home for Thanksgiving, but obviously because of a pandemic and all that stuff, I stayed home for Christmas because things were pretty awful last year around this time. And I didn't realize how much it would affect me. Like, I was fine up until the day of, and waking up Christmas morning and not, you know, nobody's here. You're not doing
this
anything.
This is the saddest story. What's going on here?
It's got to be insecure.
I'm waiting for it to turn around.
No, so that's why I'm excited this year to go home for Christmas. I'm going to get a COVID test, this is all past tense now. Before I go home, but I'll be home for Christmas. We'll stay there probably through the new year, unless something terrible happens on that COVID test. But how was Christmas for you last year, and how is it different this year for you? Or is it not? Maybe it's not.
This year, I feel like we'll be sort of back to normal-ish. Yeah,
right.
I mean, right. It's still weird, but I think people are getting more comfortable, especially now that like all family members have gotten the vaccine. Now we're going into like booster time.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty comfortable in terms of, you know, that scenario. I'll probably also get a test the week of just for peace of mind.
Right.
But yeah, it's still, I think just in general, it feels a little different. Like it's still not totally back to normal. But in terms of like holiday routines, I think this year will be sort of back to what it was before.
Did you guys do a normal thing last year, or did you kind of stay away or just drop
in? If I'll continue your super sad thread here.
Very good.
And oh my goodness. My cousin passed away a couple years ago. She was the one that hosted the big family get together.
Right, right, right.
So we haven't filled that void in terms of like getting all my aunts and uncles and cousins together. But we do, my brother and his wife will host usually like Christmas morning, and then I'll go over to my mom's in the evening.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think the one good thing, I mean, relatively speaking, out of all of this is that it does make me appreciate it more. That I was sort of, mm-hmm. I don't know, cynical about it, because I do love Christmas and all that stuff. But, you know, in recent years, it's become so routine, and we don't have any little kids in our family, so you know, we don't have that sort of renewed Christmas energy.
Well, you fill that void.
That's right. Absolutely. Right? Yeah. So
I feel like your family's shopping habits for you has not changed since you were a child.
Well, not for me, but my brother and sister are just absolute the worst about presents. They don't want anything, and they're very lazy and be like, I don't want to write a list. Or so I love to do presents because I think that's
Oh, I love getting fun, presents right? for people. Exactly. Yeah.
But they're just, so we were just exchanging gift cards back and forth. Literally, I think I've told this before. I would, my brother's birthday is in March and mine is in April. In March, I would give him an Apple gift card, and in April, he would give it back to me. That that had become our gift giving
Oh my goodness. Experience.
So we kind of just stopped because we're like, this is dumb. Like, we're just exchanging gift cards.
That's funny.
But I'd rather it be, even if it's something stupid, but I, you know, like you, I want stuff and they don't want stuff, or they buy the stuff that they want when they want it, which is what I do. But I want so much stuff that people can always give me something.
Well, now the weird thing is that, you know, we're adults and make money from working. I just buy whatever I want throughout the year. So, and then I feel guilty asking people to spend money on me, even though I do have a laundry list of things that I could ask for.
But that's the joy of the Amazon, like, wish list and stuff like that. It's so, like, you can just...
You could just keep it going and share it with people.
Buy me an air fryer or, you know, a book that I've had on there for, like, 3 years or something. Like, that's what I mean. It's just kind of funny to get it, right? Like, it's fun to open it and be like, oh, I didn't buy this thing for myself. Even if it were food, like if they gave me some weird snack or something, I'm like, I'm the easiest person to shop for because I like, you know, everything. So
has shopping changed for you? I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say it has over the past few years. I really miss being able to go out to the mall and like physically shop. To me, that was kind of a part of the Christmas experience, going to the malls and seeing all the decorations and just like window shopping and not really having an agenda, but going into the mall and seeing something like, oh, this would be great for my mom, or this store has something cool for my sister, whatever. Now it's almost exclusively online shopping.
Oh, really? Oh, no, I still go to the mall.
There's kind of an issue because of shipping times, unless it's Amazon. Mm-hmm. Right now we're in an area where it's like, right on the cusp of it's going to make it or not.
Yeah, even Amazon's been a little unpredictable. Like, the thing you want the next day is the thing that doesn't come the next day, right? Like, otherwise, normally it would come right away, but then it's like, oh, delay. And you won't know until you buy it, which I hate. Like, you know, Amazon the other day, they left a package at the far end of my hall under the stairs. And they took a picture of it and it said, oh, your package has been delivered. I'm like, that's in front of nobody's door. How is this okay? Like, what happened there?
I've had weird issues with Amazon too, where like they will take the picture, it'll say it's delivered. I'm like, I didn't get anything. And I look at the picture, I'm like, I have no idea whose door this is.
I know. It's not my door. I'm like, that's not my doormat. Like, because I'm in an apartment complex, so everybody's door looks the same unless you have a little mat there or something like that. And then it's funny. Then I'll complain on Amazon. I'll get right on to, like, I didn't get this. And they're like, oh, it hasn't been delivered yet. I'm like, what? What? You sent a picture. So I don't know if they fix it or what happens. Or if the neighbor just brings it, you know? Like, if somebody else just says, oh, this isn't mine. But anyway, before we get too far down this path, let's do a little update for you. You were doing something else this year that I have not done in a long time, and that is travel. You went to New York, of all places, not a small trip. First of all, before we get into the details of your crazy New York trip, how was flying? Was this your first flying in a long time?
Yes, this is the first since the pandemic. I actually don't travel in normal circumstances almost ever. I think the previous trip before this was work related when I went up to do the Apple stuff closer to where you used to live in San Jose.
Northern California.
Gosh, what, that was like 2018. I don't think I've been on a plane since then.
Probably not. I know you went East Coast a while back, maybe the year before, right?
That was 4 years.
Oh my gosh.
Coming this, that was 4 years ago, Thanksgiving. Anyways, yeah. I haven't traveled for a long time. The travel, I got TSA pre-check before.
Oh.
For this reason. So I started the process like early November, and it just got cleared like the week of the flight.
Oh.
And it is an amazing difference.
I should do that. I'm going to Florida.
You have to. You should do it. Start it like now.
Yeah.
Because it takes longer than you think. I thought it was going to be like a week or two process, and it was cutting it real close.
Is that just a TSA thing? It's not a specific to an airline, or do you have to do it through your airline?
No, it's so it's specific to TSA. It'll cover all airlines,
okay.
And then you get like a travel number
right.
That's essentially like a driver's license number, social security. It's attached to your name, and then once you buy a ticket through, you know, whatever, United, American. As part of your checkout process, you put in that travel number.
Oh, I see.
And it'll
just flag
when you check in at the airport, you'll be able to go through the pre-check line.
Right.
The local airport to us, John Wayne in Orange County, that one, there's almost never a crazy line. So it's not really a huge time save there. But any other airport, it's going to be a huge time saver. Going through the New York
LaGuardia? Check-in. Is it LaGuardia or JFK? Which one is it?
There's another one.
Oh.
And I don't know what it is, but it's not either of those.
Okay, great.
Newark.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So going back home through there, the line probably would have been like 2 hours. Like it was the longest like Disney zigzaggy line I've ever seen. And going through the pre-flight check zone or whatever you call it, maybe two people in front of us.
Yeah, see, that's how Orlando's a nightmare. I mean, it depends on the time of day you go, like every airport, but it's like a joke, right? Like Home Alone style joke where you're like, oh my God, there's so many people. I don't even know
when
it starts.
You have like a fast pass or that's what it feels like. You're like, oh my goodness, look at all those suckers over there waiting in line.
Did you guys, did you fly first class, if I can ask that?
Of course you're going to ask me that question. Yeah. And yes, I did.
So that I had no idea that even gets you slightly ahead too. Like if you didn't have the TSA pre-check, that they have separate like first class lines sometimes.
Oh, I didn't even know that. I think the TSA is better than that.
Oh,
anyway,
for sure. It's no.
The big thing is the boarding. Like you get to board first, so you don't have to worry about the overhead storage getting taken right away. But honestly, it's the difference between having an awful seat, an awful flying experience, and just, it's not even that it's good. It's just not awful.
It's like the difference between living in a cardboard box and living in a mansion like that.
I don't know if I go that.
I fly coach all the time when I do fly, but when you go in, the difference is just... I mean, I don't mean like comfort or anything, but how they treat you in first class compared to they're just screaming at you in the back, you know? I think that to me is the biggest thing. And then you automatically adjust right away. And I'm like, you know, this bourbon's a little warm.
So this time around, I did, when I visited my dad, the 4 years ago flight that we're just talking about, it was first class. That was... like
posh.
The premier experience where like I could lay flat almost. You get your own personal TV and like this huge area. This time was just slightly nicer seats.
Yeah.
Like it was wider.
One seat gone between you, right? Like, and then,
but it wasn't like the super nice, fully reclined.
Like business. It's basically like business class. Yeah. That's usually what mine are on the way to Florida. That's why it's not like the pods. Where you have that little room.
I wish that you could look it up online before and say like, oh, this is one of those fancier ones. Because I would probably opt to do one of those.
I mean, it just depends on the price, right? Like, within reason, of course. Anyway, how did you feel from a safety concern, like wearing masks and all that? Was there any fuss or anything around that?
I didn't. I know online you see all these fights and crazy stories of people unwilling to comply. There was zero issues as far as I could tell on it. Like there was no people being outrageous. Everybody from what I could see, was wearing a mask. No issue. I mean, I was relatively comfortable with it. I think it's the only like issue is that you're in the same pod for so long.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, you know, going to the mall mm-hmm. or going to a Target or whatever.
Moving around or, yeah.
Right. So it's a similar in that sense where everybody around you is wearing the mask. But I didn't want to, like, I mentally committed to, all right, this is happening.
Right.
Let's not
of
worry
course.
About it.
Of course. But so, the air circulation in the plane is supposed to be very good. I mean, they always say it's safer to fly than it is to sit in the airport. So, yeah, I'm less concerned.
You have to do both. So
right, no, exactly. But I mean, I think because in the airplane you're sitting for so, like you said, you're sitting for so long. In the terminal, it feels like you can walk around or get away from people if it seems uncomfortable. Right. Yeah, I don't know.
They did not have any capacity restrictions, so I think every single plane that I was on this trip was booked, fully booked,
right,
completely full. There's no gaps in between seats and nothing like that.
Yeah.
But I was relatively comfortable.
I'm an anxious flyer anyway. Like, everything makes me nervous. I'm nervous about missing my flight. I'm nervous about the flight taking off and making your connection.
Checks out.
Yeah. So I'm just, this just adds a layer of anxiety.
I will say the older that I get, the more difficult it is to be comfortable and fall asleep. Like when I was younger, so I was in the military for a while and had to do a lot of traveling for that. I would be passed out in my seat, no matter what the seat was, before we reached like altitude,
mm-hmm.
cruising altitude.
Yeah.
Now it's like I will maybe catch like 15-minute spurts of little naps like a couple times throughout the flight. Like I can't get a solid amount of sleep or nap time on the plane at all.
When we flew to Japan, that was the only time where I actually slept. And they did this whole thing because we were flying sort of overnight, you know, because of the time difference and everything. So they
sang you lullabies.
They close the windows and they make it like nighttime for an extended period of time so that you're kind of staying on like a schedule, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So whether it was sunny outside or not, it was like, oh, it's nighttime and we're serving dinner and then you sleep. And that was such a long flight, though, that you slept and woke up and did all this stuff.
Did you go out, like, you left California and went straight to Tokyo or Japan?
Yeah. I mean, I guess
how
you
long
could
is
stop
that
in
flight?
Hawaii, but otherwise it's all ocean, right? I think it was like 12 hours or something like that.
Oh, my.
I watched Inside Out. That was brand new at the time, and I watched that like twice. The same flight. It was rough. It was a little rough. I'm not a fan of flying, so but we had the steerage, whatever you call that, the extra space. Nobody was in front of us. You know, it was right where the plane breaks, mm-hmm. and that made all the difference in the world. I would have died if we did not have that. So I could stand up and, like, you know, stretch and everything. So anyway, let's get on. Okay, go ahead.
Before we get off, are you interested in traveling again? Like, do you
I want to go to places. I don't like the actual travel part. It stresses me out. But I want to go visit places and see places and things like the parks, like the Disney parks we've always talked about. I would love
honestly
to go to the
Shanghai
park.
That's the only draw or like sort of attraction to traveling that I have. I want to go to all the parks. And people, when I say that,
I know
if you're not a Disney weirdo, they all like scoff and like, wow, you're an idiot.
I know, because it's not.
But like, I have no strong desire to travel aside from that.
Well, it's,
I mean,
like weighing the fuss of the travel. Like, I would go to like the UK or something like that. I do want to go to Europe. I've never been to Europe. And so you could probably pick anywhere there and I'd be like, yeah, I'd go. But it just depends on what it is. Because again, like you, I'd want to do all the touristy things. I'm not one of those like, oh, I just went to this remote town and got to know the culture. I'd be like, nah, I want to see Eiffel Tower. I want to see the big stores and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think for me, it's not even like that I'm not. So I would be interested in going. I don't know if I care to, I don't know. Yeah. I guess if a situation came, I wouldn't run away from it, but I'm not actively looking for something.
I
like
know.
That
and
do.
You, I feel like I need some kind of driver, like either somebody else is pushing me, like, I've got this trip, do you want to go? Or it's like, I have to go for this thing. So I might as well, you know, extend the trip or go like a little bit further and see things.
So, all right, last thing before I let you move on. My friend, and I think I've said this, I know I've told you, but my friend won a pair of tickets to go somewhere, round trip. It expires the end of January,
Oh my God, I remember I was talking about this.
I don't know. It's domestic, so it's within the U.S.
Right.
I don't know, like, we either have to figure out something really quick or just they'll expire and he loses them.
Go to Florida. Go to Disney World.
We won't be it. We have to do it. We have to book it and use it by the end of January. So I thought about that too. But so we would miss you.
Yeah,
if we did try and do it.
Nowhere else in the U.S. you want to go? I'm kind of the same way. Like, there are things I want to see, but go to Vegas.
Sure. I mean, we could drive there. As much trouble as it would take to fly there. I guess, like, yeah, Orlando for the parks. Chicago, I've never been to, just because it's like a big city that might be interesting. I don't know.
Yeah. See, that's why I always need the big tourist trap to like attract me to it, right? Yeah.
Go right back to New York again.
Exactly. But that's what I mean. When it's free tickets, you feel like you should go to East Coast, right? Like get the full.
Yeah, that's the thing. I was like, I've never been to Boston.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anything really exciting to check out there.
Well, don't be dismissive of the entire.
Sorry for all of our Bostonian listeners. Yeah,
sorry, Massachusetts. Nothing there for him.
Conan is from there.
Oh, there you go. Well, right? There you go. Which brings us to our next part. Let's just segue right into the thing. You're welcome. So you went to New York. This was kind of fun trip, but with some business mixed in.
Correct.
And let's start right off with Conan.
Okay, yeah. There we go. Yeah. So part of this trip was to meet with Stitcher Radio.
Yes.
Which I have an existing professional relationship with, if you will. Mm-hmm. Over the past 2 to 3 years now, I've done a handful of different projects and work for them. So part of this trip was to meet with them in their New York office and talk about some upcoming projects that they need help with. The scheduling for this like meeting in their office changed from day to day. So we were originally supposed to be there the Wednesday. This is last week.
Right.
It got pushed to a Thursday. And, you know, if that hadn't happened, I was just telling you this earlier, we wouldn't have run into this person. And it's just a weird set of circumstances that kind of ended up working in my favor, I guess. Tell this part of the story, I guess, and we can backtrack to the work part if you want. I was in the Stitcher office, just kind of loitering, looking around at their space, waiting for our contact, and Conan O'Brien just happens to walk in. And you know how if you see somebody like that, you get kind of giddy and like uncomfortable and awkward. Immediately, I was like a little fanboy.
Yeah.
And I was trying to play it, air quotes, cool, like not just fawn over him.
Right.
But he wasn't really like, he had a little, I think his assistant, not Sona, but maybe like he has a travel assistant or something that was like right next to him.
Guy or girl? Was it David? Is it David?
No, it was a girl, not one that I have seen in any of his bits or content. But he was kind of also loitering around, I'm assuming waiting for his contact in the office to greet him. And I walked up to him. I feel so awkward even telling this story.
Good.
So I have done artwork, official artwork for Conan O'Brien and his podcast before.
Yes.
And the poster that I did, the first piece of artwork I did for him was hanging in a hallway just next to where we were standing.
Perfect.
So that to me was like an in to talk to him without being just a weird fanboy. I had like kind of a topic I could bring up that made me look like I was a professional and had like a reason to be there and talk to him. So I walked up to him like, I'm so sorry. I don't mean to bother you, but,
would you say really Conan or Mr. O'Brien?
I don't think I addressed him by name. I think, you know, but I mean, it's like, if I go up to you, I don't say, hey Jared, how's it going?
You know, but sometimes when it's a celebrity, you kind of want to like, hi, you know, like, I don't know, like acknowledge it. But it's always weird if you would say, would you say Conan if you had to address him, or would you say?
Probably. Yeah. I would probably say Conan just because that's like he was branded by that for the last.
Right.
The last part of his like television late night show was just Conan. So yeah, I probably would call him Conan.
Weird. Yeah.
And hopefully that's not super disrespectful.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I don't, because if you worked at a hotel, say, right, you'd be like, well, when, you know, thank you for coming, Mr. O'Brien. You wouldn't be like, Conan. But yeah.
So I approached him like, oh, I'm so sorry. I don't mean to bother you. And the piece of artwork was down the hall. Yeah. And I point over there. It's like, I actually did this artwork for you. And he looks over. He's like, oh, my gosh, thank you so much. This was that's fantastic. Oh, okay. And, you know, I know that's just what you say.
But no, but of course, but he did. That's what's great. So, yeah.
As he's saying it in my head, you know, professionally insecure, yes. I'm just like, oh, it's all bullshit. He actually good hates it. And right. It's just being nice. But the cool thing was he actually brought this up. He's like, oh, we should go take a photo. And like,
yes.
He gestured the whole thing. Brought his little squad over there to take the photo.
Perfect.
He's like, and I'm so awkward and uncomfortable. I don't know what to do, like how to pose. He's like, here, let's shake hands. So we were holding hands underneath the
picture,
the artwork and the poster that I made for him that was hanging on the wall there. And it was all just like a happy coincidence and like series of events that led to this moment.
I think that's great. Like I would not want him to do anything different than that.
Right.
You know, like he could very easily have been sort of aloof or sort of like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. Great. Good for you. but it seems like totally on brand for him to do exactly that. And I think that's,
yeah,
that's nice to hear that. It's not just like on
afterwards, stage. Like once the tour was over, I left the building and everything. I'm like, oh man, I should have said this. Or I could have been so much cooler if I did this. And
I don't know. What is your approach though? Do you think you should be sort of like, you know, respectful,
I don't affable, know.
Or do you think you should be like, hey man, like we're buddies. Like, I don't know if I like that approach either.
I would never be comfortable enough to do that.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's probably a happy medium where you're like confidently fanning out. You know what I mean? Like,
confident, but like, respectfully, but like, yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like I was way too awkward and uncomfortable. But
I mean, you don't want to make them uncomfortable. I think that's the main thing, right? You don't want to like, yeah. It's hard though, because in the moment, oh, we make the worst decisions.
It feels like it's moving so fast and you're like everybody's sprinting around you. They're not, but it feels like that. And you have this like little window to make a move or to do something. And it either like you blows up in your face or, I mean, I was lucky for him to kind of, after I made that initial react or what do you call
gesture,
it?
Gesture.
Gesture, right, I guess. Sure. He kind of took over because he probably recognized like, oh, this.
Of course. This, like this probably this guy happens all the is time.
A rambling idiot. Let me help him out.
What's the thing he says on a seat? Like, this is what I would do. Exactly what I would do is I'd be like, oh, what's that thing they say on the podcast all the time? And I can't think of it. And then I'd probably try to do it and do it wrong. And I'd be like, oh, like how embarrassing. What's the thing he says?
I don't know. Sago-loo, there's so many little.
Or something, you know. That.
Oh, kukuru. Yes.
Like the podcast has a lot more stuff than like the late night show, I think.
It would have been, it was a very quiet office setting. Yes. I feel like if I did anything like that, it would have been more obnoxious than endearing
I'd pick
in
the
any way.
Wrong I'd be like, hey, feeling that big dick energy. Like, oh, why did you pick that? Of all the things, that's a thing they say on the podcast all the time. I'm not just making that up or being weird. But
sure.
That would be a weird thing to say. And I'd be like, why did you go with that? Why on
He's
earth?
Like, excuse me?
Did you just call me a dick? Yeah.
So that was exciting.
Yeah. I'm terrible about meeting celebrities. It doesn't happen often, but I'm terrible. I kind of dread it more than I do like, oh, I wish I could meet this person, you know, but sometimes just like that, where it's like, you would regret it if you didn't say anything. If you're just like, oh, there goes Conan, you know?
Well there, I do have a regret story here. This isn't even like a huge celebrity thing. I went to a Clippers game after Thanksgiving and in the Clippers store, like the fan store, you know, you go to before, after the game, Jeff Garland was just in there. Walking like
that's hilarious.
I'm this is going to sound really bad, good, but it felt like he was
waiting,
wanting to be noticed. Yeah.
I got to get out of here before someone recognizes me.
It was almost like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And like some girl was like, oh, you seem familiar. And like, this was mask time.
Yeah.
So he's like, does this help? And moved his mask down like, hey, it's me, guys. And so after that happened, I was like, oh, he obviously is cool if people want to like take a photo and say what's up. I still was so awkward and uncomfortable that like, I didn't do anything. I just kind of stared at him.
It's so hard, right? Like, it's just, yeah.
There was some like frat boys in there, and he said a comment like, oh, buy this jacket and you'll for sure get laid or something. And at that point I was like, he's really trying to like, you know, get noticed. And I still like couldn't.
Maybe he was drunk. Couldn't do it. Maybe he was like kind of drunk or something, you know?
I don't know.
That's awfully forward, right? Usually they're trying to like, leave me alone. I just want to get out of here.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Let's get off of celebrity talk for a little bit here. What else did you do? Because you went to New York with sort of an agenda of all this nerdy, geeky stuff.
Oh, yeah.
To
so
do.
There was half, you know, professional stuff. And then the other half was definitely tourist.
Right.
Sort of playtime
stuff. Let's get the highlights. What are the highlights?
So, well, here, before we do that, the one other thing that was kind of work-related, but not really, the hotel I stayed at, literally across the street, was a billboard that I had designed for Facebook Oculus.
Oh,
like, coincidentally, just right across the like, you walk out the front door and you're looking at it.
Interesting.
I had no idea it was going to be there. It just happened. So that was really like fun, cool, and interesting to experience. Just again, a random set of coincidences.
Did you take pictures? Did you do all your?
Of course I did.
Oh my gosh.
I took, so it was for Face or Oculus, and this campaign has people wearing the Oculus and they have the controllers in their hands. They're doing like some really crazy gestures and movements.
Like the headsets on, like,
and
okay.
So the talent or the models that are in the campaign, they're doing like a hand swooshing movement, like they're really intense in the game. So this one, it's like the, you know, the Carlton dance it looks like that's what the guy's doing. So I posed in front of him
doing the Carlton,
trying to mimic that.
Oh, well, it's unfortunate that your social media sucks so bad. Otherwise we'd see some of these great pictures.
Nah, I think I've decided to retire from social media.
Boo. Going in the wrong direction. You will cease to exist. Just coming from me.
I already do.
Okay. So let's go through some of the,
The first day we checked in, and another just random set of coincidences. There was a breakfast place a few blocks from the hotel.
Yes.
And across the street from this breakfast place was the Ghostbusters firehouse.
Oh, nice, nice, nice.
So, like, I wasn't even looking to find the firehouse, but
there
I love pancakes. This place happened to have a good pancake review online, so
pancake
we went there, and across the street was the Ghostbusters house. And I think it's still a functional fire station.
Is it? I thought they turned it into something. I don't.
So
I can't
they
remember.
Have they have us the Ghostbusters sign in front of it, and I think like spray painted or painted on the ground or sidewalk in front of it are some Ghostbusters stuff.
Mm.
But there was a fire truck inside.
Yeah.
It wasn't like you couldn't just walk into it. It wasn't like a tourist spot as. Aside from being able to take photos outside of
right,
it.
Right, right.
Yes, but from what I could tell, it seemed like it was a functional firehouse.
Oh, interesting.
I didn't see any firemen. I just, one of the days, the door was open and it looked like all the fire
people,
fire department equipment was in there. Like you could see the helmets and like the uniforms and stuff.
Okay.
But yeah,
okay.
That was cool to see.
I'm going to just have to start asking you about things here because you keep pushing it off here. All right. You went to the Krispy Kreme, the New York Krispy Kreme, which is huge. It's a what do you call that? A flagship location.
Flagship store, yeah.
But relatively new, right? I mean, it's only been like a couple
I of feel years? Like it opened during the pandemic. Yeah, I know they announced it before, but just, you know, with the way things happened, it opened during the pandemic. Times Square is insane. It's like downtown Hollywood and Las Vegas all wrapped up into one.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
10 block area. Ton of lights, ton of ads. And the Krispy Kreme has its own just giant digital billboard on top of the store entrance, which is really visually, it's really cool. And then inside they had, it was a store attached to the standard like Krispy Kreme donut experience. So you could still everything you could see at a normal Krispy Kreme they also have, but then they had a bigger retail footprint as well.
So give us a little review of it here, because sometimes you go to these places and you're like, well, it's just bigger, you know, like it's,
so I'm easy to please in these situations. I think like I love the gimmick of it, and just the fact that they had a handful of unique merchandise was enough for me. But to be completely honest, it is just a bigger Krispy Kreme store. Like you do get more, I think at the Krispy Kreme closest to us, they don't have any merch aside from like a coffee mug, maybe. So it's that, but you could buy more merch. It was bigger, like there's more places to sit. There's a couple photo ops inside of the store well. But yeah, it's if you're looking for like a store to spend 30 minutes in or even longer, you will be disappointed. I mean, you could do the whole thing within like 10 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, no, I'm easy to please with these things too. There's a kiosk that they do in certain airports where it just looks like an open Krispy Kreme box. And I'm like, oh, I want to go there. Yeah. So that's cool. I hate when they don't have exclusive merchandise. So I'm like, what is going on?
Well, you know? It was disappointing that they had, I think, two t-shirt designs and then like maybe a magnet set or something. And of the tees, the sizing was, it was like, extra large and double X only. I'm like,
well, there you go.
Great.
Yeah.
So that was slightly disappointing.
And you bought the expensive donut that they have, right?
I did. That was the best part of it. And again, just because of the gimmick and the presentation, the packaging of this thing, you buy one donut and you get its own box.
Right.
And I talked about this on the Sunday Show and Tell with you when I went and I was like, oh, I'll have, you know, this donut, that donut, and let me get the Big Apple, please. And the lady, the cashier was like, it's $12. And I'm like, yeah, it's fine.
Right.
For one donut. Absolutely. And I was like, in my head, I'm like, are you trying to get me to not buy this thing?
Yeah.
I was embarrassed at how comfortable I was saying like, yeah, give it to me, give it to me. And she's like clearly saying like, what, why are you doing this?
This is why you need to do the social media, because that is exactly what that is for, right? Like you have to take it because you can't keep it. It's not like, I always thought it was going to be like an ornament or something, you know, like a toy.
I mean, you could probably turn it into an ornament.
Exactly. But you eat,
it's kind of
the donut. How was the actual donut though?
So, you know, we get all of the kind of unique flavors that come out every quarter, every couple months. It's no different than that. It's like it's on par with those.
Yeah.
It's cool because it looks like an apple. They have this red kind of apple glaze that they put over it. And then like a pretzel stick to come serve as like the stick on the top of the apple. So it looks great and it tastes just like any of the other specialty flavors. So it's exactly what you would think. I liked it, surprisingly. It wasn't like an overwhelming apple-y sort of taste. Your favorite descriptor, it was sweet.
Of course.
I think it was their generic cream filling.
Mm.
And then the apple glaze on top of it.
So you're a big donut person. You're going to Krispy Kreme in New York. Like, why don't they have more exclusive flavors or something gimmicky around the donut? More than just a t-shirt that says New York. Case. Or something like that. But like, why not be like, you can only get this giant Krispy Kreme there or something like, you know what I mean? Something like that to really drive it home.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know like if there's a weird cost involved and like maybe this Big Apple flavor was like a tester, and if it does well, they'll do more.
Yeah, yeah.
They did also have holiday themed ones.
Right.
So they had like Santa looking donuts and a Hanukkah one. But yeah, in terms of like a New York specific one, it was just the the Big Apple.
Right. Okay. The other place of interest that I want to ask about, and you can say whatever you want after this, is the Harry Potter store, which is, this is really interesting to me because it's literally just a store, right? It's a very fancy, highly decorated, highly themed store, but it is just a store that they just built, and it's got all this Harry Potter merchandise in it. What were your thoughts? This is the most exciting thing, I think. Yeah,
I loved it. Yeah. This was awesome. This was such a cool experience. It's similar to if you go to Universal Studios and they have like all the Harry Potter themed areas and stores.
Yeah.
I honestly think this might be better than some of the stores. Mm-hmm. So the Universal stores are great because when you step out, you're also in you know, the Harry Potter village or whatever.
Immersive, yeah.
So so this one is literally, you know, a store. Once you step outside, you're in New York. But it's huge. It's very, very big store. Mm-hmm. And there's a ton of photo ops. There's experiences that are unique to this location. I think I didn't do this part, but I think it might be like there's a Harry Potter app that you can interact with different elements within the store. They have exclusive merchandise there. There's a ton of photo ops built within the shop. It was fantastic. And even if you're a casual Harry Potter fan, I probably spent like 45 minutes in this store and I didn't even like really dive deep into each little section.
Right, right, right.
It's amazing. It was so cool. You walk in and it's like, I think you're first go into this like a t-shirt area or like a clothing area. And you keep going. There's the wand store and I don't know how to describe it. There's like stores within the store. Yeah, so like this section is like the clothing section.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of like its own little store.
It's like a department store. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You go to the wand section. It's wall to wall wands. And they have exclusive wands there. If you're, I don't know, that big of a Harry Potter fan. It's kind of similar to what they did at Star Wars. You know, you can get like exclusive lightsabers. They have that with the wands. I mean, I don't know how else. You're gonna have to ask me questions
because I'm just rambling here. Was this like 57th and 5th or something? Like where was this?
It's the Flatiron District, I think is what they call it.
Okay, so it's not so Times Square. Where the Flatiron
building is. No.
Right.
I don't remember the streets, but I know it's the Flatiron Square, I think is what they call it. Yeah. There's a handful of stores in that area, and it is right there. Another cool element, like I don't know how deep you are in the Harry Potter, but you know, in what's his name, Dumbledore's office, it's got that phoenix that spins and like
the staircase.
They had that on top of a spiral staircase that led down to another floor of merchandise, and periodically the statue would
turn
spin.
Yeah. See, so it's those kinds of things that I love, right? This is not just a big store. It's a very themed, like a theme park store. That's what I've heard. I've heard great things about it. I haven't really looked online. I know I'm sure there's a billion pictures by now. That's what I've heard, that it's really rather fantastic. I wish Disney would do something like this in Times Square. Like, I get that they want to drive everybody to the parks, and that's really where your experiences are. But instead of just doing like a Disney store, which you did visit on this case, it's one of the last Disney stores, I think. I wish they did something a little more elaborate than just do a bigger Disney store. Tokyo's great at doing this. But here in America, it seems like it's just like a bigger version.
I think the challenge with Disney stores, there's so much under the Disney umbrella. You know, and they would have to have sections based on property under Disney.
Whereas
Harry Potter, you just go all Harry Potter. You could do something similar with Star Wars and other fandoms that have a series of movies and or TV shows. Disney definitely can do stuff. I don't know how they would turn that into a store, though, because there's so much Like, how do you pick and choose what to highlight?
Well, I think it's either floors or departments, like you said. You know what I mean? So, but just if there's some kind of installation, and it's not just like merchandise on shelves, you know, that it's more of an experience than it is. So I think you can just like, you can take the basic Disney Store model, but just pump up one aspect for this one corner. So like in Tokyo, they just do these little scenes, which is really nice, like life-size scenes where one corner is just Geppetto's workshop and there's a little Pinocchio. Like you can't even go in there and touch anything. You just take a picture of it. But just seeing that,
I will say the Disney Store versus the Harry Potter Store, what Harry Potter did, I think, much better was it felt kind of like you were going into a Harry Potter world.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was very immersive. The Disney Store felt very much like a retail store.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even though they had little photo op kind of areas, it still felt like you were in a Disney store.
Right, right. No, I know. They used to be a little bit better, the early Disney Store days, but then it kind of went to this more, you know, they look nice as far as retail locations, but like a little more leaning towards like a Gap than it is like a themed experience or anything like that. I kind of get it, but I just like, that's the stuff I want to go see when I go to these specialty stores, right? Like, you don't care if like, oh, Gap has their flagship store in Times Square. You're like, well, I don't care. Like, it's a lot more denim, or I don't know.
Yeah.
So that's the.
Another fun thing they did at Harry Potter, like, so similar to the staircase with the rotating statue. You know, in some of the movies, they would travel through the fireplaces.
Right.
So they had the elevator there was a fireplace.
See? Perfect.
So, like, you know, you press the button to go in and the fireplace opens and you're in the fireplace to travel down to the next floor. Just, like, little things like that were so cool. And, like, it's great storytelling within that whole world.
Was there food? Isn't there food?
Oh, my God. That's the... Yes. Yeah. So similar to exit through the gift shop, right, where this is a full gift shop, you actually exit through the ice cream shop.
There you go.
So I don't know if you're a fan of butterbeer.
Yep.
They have a section that's like, you know, the candies. They have the candy frog or chocolate frogs. Got those gross ass
Honey
jelly
Dukes
beans
or whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You could purchase bottled butterbeer. But then when you exit, there's like kind of an ice cream / coffee shop, so you can buy a cup of butterbeer or butterbeer ice cream.
Right, right.
It was soft serve ice cream. So good. It was like, I don't know, I guess buttercream flavored ice cream, but it had little pockets of not caramel, but sort of like butterscotch.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Little clumps throughout there. It's fantastic. And I love being able to eat that inside of a Harry Potter themed room.
Did they do a lot of that sort of like immersive cast member stuff like Disney does? Like,
No.
Okay,
no,
so it was
no.
just straight up, yeah, you're buying stuff at a store. Yeah, okay.
I mean, to be honest or fair, I didn't interact with much beyond like, you know, where is the register.
Right, right.
So I didn't have many moments to be like, oh, yeah, what's up with this wand? You know what I mean? So they might have, but from the limited experience that I had within the store, I didn't notice any.
Right. Right. Well, that's good. I get kind of frustrated with some of that stuff. I mean, Harry Potter is pretty relatively contemporary, so it's not like they would be like, we don't have registers. You know, like, yes, of course they do. So like the Star Wars Land stuff where they start, and they've kind of backed up a little bit on that in Star Wars Land. But,
oh man, when we first
went, it can
went,
get confusing.
And we're like, oh, can we use credit card? You're like, I don't know what a credit card is. We take
Republic credits.
Blah, blah, blah credits. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God.
So is that yes or no?
Where do I swipe the damn card? Do you not want me to pay for this?
Yeah. I know. So like, that's why that Galactic Cruiser thing, I'm like, oh, I don't know if I could maintain the whole time with the storytelling in a hotel for two nights, you know, where they're just like, we don't have bathrooms on this. Okay. yeah.
We also saw the Harry Potter Broadway show.
Oh, you did. That's right. Cursed Child, so, the newfangled version, right? The
Yeah. So I'm a little disappointed that they condensed it into one night, like 1 3-hour show as opposed to 2 3-hour shows.
Right.
So I will say, you know, just being a fan of Harry Potter, it's nice to always get exposed to the world again,
yeah,
in whatever medium. I know some people are not big theater fans. It is very
theatery. Yeah.
So, you know, like playing, kind of overacting and that sort of thing.
Right.
I will say, not being able to compare this to the extended version,
right,
it did feel condensed.
Oh.
Like, I know 3 hours for one play feels like a long time.
Yes.
But all of the scenes were like almost vignettes or like snippets. And I have to guess that the extended version would get a lot more like character development and like plot development, where this one felt like it was very, all right, we're trying to get this point across with these characters, go.
Yeah.
And it felt really, really, the pacing was really quick.
Mm. Did you like the overall story though, as far as how it continues the Harry Potter storyline?
Gosh, I don't want to like be too spoilery here.
Well, just, don't.
So yes and no. Okay. I love being able to go back to Hogwarts and Harry Potter world. There are things that I would have liked to see, like, be dealt with differently.
Oh, okay.
So I'll leave it at that.
Okay, good. Do you see this being a movie?
I think it's inevitable, yeah, just because, like, how do you... It's like... like it's free money for the studios, like,
right,
of course if they have the opportunity to do it, I feel like it's only a matter of time. It will be interesting when they do it, because I think now might be a good time, like time wise for the cast
with the
members.
the kids are about the age, I think they were saying.
Well, let me think.
Yeah, so, I think I was just reading something about it where they're like, oh, it's perfect because they'd be in there. I don't know.
But they're still trying. They got to finish the Fantastic Beasts series, which they just released the new trailer, and that new one's coming out this.
But that's
in a couple months.
Prequely.
Right, but they're not going to do a Harry Potter sequel and prequel simultaneously.
I know, but like these things take so long. It's like, I mean, have a window of time. These kids are not going to age out of this anytime soon, right? Even if they get older, they can play younger. So.
Yeah, they're going to do, I mean, we've seen Princess Leia and all these other characters be re-brought back to life.
Or aged
and
even down. The
Ghostbusters that just came out. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see it, but okay.
Oh.
Yep.
Well, that's your fault. It's been out for like 2 months.
I'm not going to go see it. All right. Okay. Let's get off of Harry Potter then. What else? What did I miss there in your touristy thing? Those are the big things that I wanted to see.
The last one, and we talked about this on the, show and tell. Yeah. The Line Friends.
Right.
So I can just go over this really quick. This was another really fun, like, photo op-y sort of experience. It wasn't immersive because this is just cute characters.
Yeah,
there's not really a world.
Yeah.
And there's no, you know, it's a retail store specifically created to sell merch.
Sanrio. Very Hello Kitty.
Yes, it's very much like Hello Kitty. Yeah. It's a lot of little knickknacks like pencils and notebooks.
Right.
Pillows and that sort of
thing.
Very
Japanese, yeah.
BTS has a Line Friends version of each one of the members.
Ridiculous, yeah.
So they actually had you go and do this whole experience, and in the back there's like a room dedicated just to the BTS characters.
Oh man, I bet.
And they had I don't know what it was made out of, but like a life-size version of all the characters, so you could pose next to them.
Cute.
So that was fun. It's just a cute little store. So exactly what you said, it's a new age Sanrio with new characters fulfilling.
I've been to the one in Hollywood. It's very like spacious. So like Hello Kitty stores are always tiny, tiny things.
Right.
Even the cafe that we have here is very tiny. But that one seemed very like wide open, you know? So like it's this big massive store and everything sort of pushed to the sides or on these, you know, and then they do have these huge characters where you can kind of sit like larger than life characters where you can sit next to them or something like that. But this one's right in Hollywood, I think, right down the street from like
The El Capitan.
Yeah, and the
Disney
Funko
Theater.
Store and everything. So it feels like the Funko store to me, how the Funko store is humongous. There's a lot of walking space in there. But I love it. I always want to go to these stores. Was this Times Square?
Yes.
Okay.
It was like right in the heart of Times Square. For me, like, it's almost like a I would actually go out of my way just to go and do some of these shopping experiences. Like, we went to Funko.
Yeah.
Just to go to Funko,
right,
when we did it that one time.
Yeah, no, like, I absolutely love this. But I like shopping in general. So that's why I love Japan.
Same.
Like, Japan was all shopping for me, like endless shopping, like to the point where I got tired of shopping because it's just great. But like, I love malls. Like, I was just in San Diego and I went to a mall I've never been to. And, you know, malls are kind of the same now, but I'm still excited to go to a new mall. So it doesn't take much for me to get excited. Same. You know, I'm just like, oh, that's interesting. Look how they set this up. Or like, oh, this is kind of like a 90s mall. You know, like, I'm just happy to see it. Like, I don't even care about like, oh, it's high end or like anything like that. I'm, you know, I appreciate it all. South Coast is still my favorite mall, I think, though. I love South Coast Plaza.
South Coast is great during Christmas too.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been.
Yeah. That
they have
display for Santa.
But it's not only just like the one.
Right.
If you go, because it's connected, it's almost like two malls connected by a bridge. They both have their own pretty elaborate
setup,
Christmas decorations, and like the centerpiece for the smaller mall.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I
where it's like the Santas around the world kind of building on top of each other.
No. See, now I'm going to have to go back.
It's so cool. Like, this is a thing that you could spend, if you really wanted to like dissect this thing, you could spend probably an hour looking at it and like continuously discover new things.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to have to go back.
Because, you know, every country around the world has their own version of Santa Claus.
Yeah.
So you get to see like, oh, this is the Chinese Santa Claus. This is the, I don't know.
Yeah.
German Santa Claus.
Right. See, I love that stuff. I didn't know. I know. I just saw the one in the main mall where it's like this human. I mean, this is a huge installation, right? It's like a little, it's like those little Christmas town decorations that you have, but it's humongous. It goes up to the roof and it's just like, very cute. But I love that mall. Always clean. And I like all the stores in there. It's massive. It's just a massive shop.
What's that? Din Tai Fung?
Yep. Din Tai Fung. Everything you want in the mall is there. No more Disney store, of course, but Uniqlo and all those places. All right. Let's see. So anything else on New York before we move on?
No.
Okay.
Do you have something?
No. I mean, so I've been going to Disneyland. You go to New York.
I was just going to ask you about
that. Go to Disneyland. been going a lot. That's really why I moved down here, is to be close to Disneyland. So I'm glad that it's open, that we've got the passes back so that I can go. It's a little tough.
How is that working for you? Are you able to go, like, if you want to? Let's say after we're finished here, can you go?
You need a reservation. To the park? So if there are you know, reservations open today, and that's possible because they, you know, way ahead, they close the dates, but then as you get closer, they open them either from cancellations or they're just letting more people into the park or something like that. So the spontaneity of going is a little hit or miss. But, you know, like December was blocked out forever, not blocked out, but like the path, the tickets were all gone.
Yeah.
So even January is filling up, and it just depends. So you kind of have to plan ahead if you really want to make sure. Like, I'm not traveling, so it's not a big deal. But if you were trying to, like, oh, we're going to make reservations, really have to plan ahead, I think. And, like, food reservations, as far as, like, restaurant reservations, those seem to be the hardest thing to get. Like, you have to do a food reservation first and then plan your trip around that if you really want to go somewhere.
That's interesting. I do want to ask you about that. So you've been posting, and we went during the unveiling of your photo op, there's so much holiday themed goodies.
Yeah.
And it looks like you're eating all of them.
Yes. That was the whole point of going. So they have like the food festival that they have at DCA. Disneyland just does, you know, like when you got like the corn dog and stuff, that was just the holiday menu, not necessarily the party menu. So it gets a little confusing because you see pictures and you're like, oh, I want that one. Like that cookies and cream pretzel we got, that was only for the party. And I admit, that was my favorite pretzel by far.
That was surprisingly good.
Yeah, yeah. Of all the things we ate that night.
I've got to learn, though. Like, you should have told me to chill out because I went too hard too quick.
I know. You ate everything. You like, finished my hamburger. I'm like, oh, well, you know, there's going to be, like, 30 other things we're going to eat.
You've got to, like, have, like, 50, like half of what you order or less.
So,
or go with like a group and share
everything.
Exactly.
So there were three of us, and that makes it really easy. Like, then you've eaten a lot of stuff by the end of the day, but you're like, well, I only had a bite of this thing, or like, So that's what we did. It was very rainy and blustery yesterday. We went a terrible day to go. I mean, I know it clears out the park and the lines are short, but it was so cold and just, you were just wet.
Well, it was raining real hard for a good part of the day.
It stopped by around 3 or 4, you know.
I like the poncho that you got to stay safe. Thank you very
much. I got my Star Wars, gave good excuse to use it. I probably never wear it again.
Did you get it there?
Yeah, I got it
like there. That day.
It's expensive.
That's awesome.
I want people to know it's not just something you pick up like the other ponchos. That was official merchandise, very expensive for what it was. But I love it.
It was so cool. Are you doing a lot of, when you go, do you shop?
Absolutely.
Like every single time you go?
Absolutely.
Or do you plan ahead or is it all spontaneous?
It depends. Like sometimes I go but I always forget. Like I go like, oh, I want to get that soap dispenser that I got. And every time I go, I kept forgetting to check for it, but they didn't have it. I had to get that on Shop Disney. So
that is like the most simple.
It's so cute.
Thing.
Yes.
But so cool.
That's what I mean. They just got to do those little things like that. And that goes a long way.
It's so brilliant that Disney's been able to, like, I know it's no like coincidence or anything, but they are able to distill their brand down to 3 shapes.
Yep. Yep. Like three circles.
It makes the branding possibilities are endless, and you could do something so simple, but have such a big impact and like make people want to go out of their way to get a soap dispenser because it does this.
Yep.
Hidden. Super simple thing, but really cool.
I know. It's fun. They do have very specific rules about how you use it and when you use it. Like I found out from just doing work with them. It's still a very fun thing to do. I think it's one of the rare cases where they can do that. And it's it doesn't feel corporate for some reason. It is. It obviously is very corporate. But like if you see the Nike swoosh somewhere, that feels more like corporate to me. I like it. I still like that they use it. But the way Disney does it, it seems playful and fun, and that it's Mickey.
Right.
It's not Disney. It's Mickey, which is a huge distinction. Like Target. Target does some fun stuff with the
bullseye.
Yeah, but it still feels corporate to me. Like I would be less inclined to wear a t-shirt of something.
Well, because it's always attached to an ad somehow. Like you don't see it like... I mean, with the Mickey Mouse, you can see it on TV. You know, it's before
it's everything.
Or after.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
But so simple and clean. Like, if they put, like, Christmas decorations on the Nike swoosh, I wouldn't want it. But that's all they have to do for Mickey, right? 3 Christmas balls, and it's like, it's a Mickey head. I want it. So I love it. Obviously.
They have Do you have the wreath? There's a couple people in our neighborhood, I think, that it's really cool.
Yeah, I know. I want all of it, but I haven't. Like, it's weird to me because I'm leaving town for Christmas, so I always feel like, just going to be up for a week or something, and then I'm going to be gone.
Well, I was gone during, like, peak decoration time, All we're going to have is a Christmas tree.
That's why I like
inside.
Starting
There's
super
no outdoor
early
stuff.
Because it's done so fast. It just seems like a waste of time. But Disneyland, I did, you know, what was sad is we were walking out of Buzz Lightyear yesterday and it was so rainy and stuff, but it's so slick in that place. I fell. Like I couldn't have, like, so embarrassing. Like I went down on one knee, actually. I didn't like completely fall. But,
you know, it's probably
God,
like,
so old man.
It's better to do a crazy, like dramatic.
Yes.
Cartoon slip as opposed to just slowly falling like awkwardly.
Well, it's so weird because it was so slippery. Like I didn't stop. Like it wasn't like a quick fall. Like you I just kept sliding down. They have that like sloped exit of Buzz Lightyear and it's like a Lego floor, you know, where it's like slightly raised bumps. I don't know. And I wore Converse, which was stupid on my part. And so I just, oh my God, I slid. The people behind me were even laughing. I'm like, great, how embarrassing. But, oh God, I had to be careful. That's the only bad part about being there in the rain.
Everybody join in.
Yes, terrible.
Look at this guy.
Like, you know, and then when you fall, you're just very like, I'm fine. You know, you pop back up regardless of your leg could be broken in 3 spots. Because they did, like, for the briefest moment, you know where it feels like your leg's going in the wrong direction when you slip? You know, like you're going to,
break something.
So I was very worried, like, oh, crap, I hope I didn't get hurt. But you pop right back up and you're like, I'm fine.
Oh, it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. So embarrassing, though. I think nothing's worse than falling like that. But,
I do, while we're on Disneyland specifically, I want to ask you or talk about the work you did. So we went to go see the photo op, like the oversight postcard you did for Tomorrowland.
Yes.
It was so fun to be able to experience that with you. And like, we literally got to see it unveiled. Like there was a tarp over it. And that was the first time you saw that
yep.
in real life,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, just, I can only imagine how like special and magical that was on your side. It was still fun for me, not being a part of the creation of it, but just being able to see that for you was really fun for me.
It's funny, but like with something like that, like you don't, it's like Underground Gallery when it first started for me. It's like, it's not something you thought about when you were young, you know, you didn't say, I want to grow up and design backdrops for Instagram right. photos, you know, like you it's not one of those things. So when it comes up and like they ask you to do it, you're like, oh, okay, that sounds cool. And then you get to see it and you see like strangers in front of it. And that mm-hmm. to me, that part never goes away. Like I'm never like, oh yeah, it's just another one of the things that I did. Like it's always exciting for me to see that stuff out in the wild. And, you know, they gave postcards away of it afterwards and, yeah, just it's nice to see strangers in front of your work. And
it's a fun concept too, like just going beyond your artwork. Yeah. But what they did were, you know, you go to all the different lands and it's a postcard from each land. Right. That was a really fun concept. I'm surprised they haven't done much with that sort of concept or idea before.
I know. So there were other things like it would be nice if it could have been a more elaborate setup. And we had mm-hmm. we had sort of talked about some options on that, but they did go with more of just a flat back. I think because there were so many of them. But yeah, like I would love, it's just like what you do, exactly what you do. I would love to explore that more. If like those aliens popped off that background a little bit, or there was just dimensional elements in front of it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of more stuff you can do.
With what you did compared to the other ones, it was... So a lot of some of the other ones had like a scene
more
set
like, yeah, scenes,
where
right.
you had to kind of strategically stand in a place. Otherwise you're going to be covering
the right,
key
right.
art elements. What you did was great because you could stand anywhere and it's kind of like a repeating pattern yeah. where it works.
Right.
If you have one person, if you have five people, if you stand on the left, right, or middle. So that was great with, you know, just designing that as a photo op, and then it lends itself really well to the actual physical postcard as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, no, it was fun. It was a good, I mean, obviously that's kind of what I do lately, like this pattern stuff, you know, and so it was nice mm-hmm. that I was just able to do that. We did do another take of it where it was more of a scene setup, like you were on mm-hmm. a planet or something, but we did go with that one in the end, so.
I mean, even if you were to do like the, you know, the greetings from
right.
location and like kind of the Illustrator
yeah.
kind of font, like if you were to do that and take a photo in front of it, you're going to be covering
right.
letters, so
exactly.
that idea in theory is cool, but it doesn't really work unless they do it like at Cars Land where it's elevated
right
above
right,
you
right, right, right.
You know,
like there's so much fun stuff you could do. I mean, this is obviously your strong area, yeah, for sure, but like even playing with the postcard thing, like to bump things up, and yeah, there's a lot you mm-hmm. can do. And I think
you know what's fun, like there's always some restraints that you're yeah. working within, though. Yeah. So, like, we're talking, like, oh, it'd be great if you could do this, this, and this. They're like, yeah, but we're only going to do this.
Right.
And you're like, okay.
I know. But I like the challenge of it, though, too. Like, if they say yes. do whatever you want, that's so much harder for me than saying, like,
yeah.
we have to do
I
it
need
like
restraints,
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or some sort of parameters to work within.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of my work is very reactionary. So it's like you're responding to the things that they've, you know, the parameters that they've given you, as opposed to just creating mm-hmm. something on your own. I think when I create stuff on my own, it gets a little too elaborate, and I'm not good at like engineering these things. So I'm like, I would just create something that was impossible to put together or practical in any way, you know? So
like if you could just, you know, suspend gravity in this area right. only so that the aliens are floating.
And then the aliens fly by every time you do. Yeah, totally. So, but yeah, always fun to see it. And yeah, it's great that it's, I had a good spot too. Like that, it was very featured in
the
that
lighting
Tomorrowland
was
area.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Cause it was in an area that they do, programming for regularly.
Right. Like
so
the dance club or a band plays there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it was already well lit, and then the photo ops were also backlit, kind of like the movie mm-hmm. posters in the frames at the theaters. So, I feel like you got lucky with
and there's a
that
big
whole
like a
thing.
Big wide open space, so you could see it when you're walking by. Where some of them were a little more mm-hmm. hidden, but yeah,
yeah,
I was very happy with the whole thing, and yeah, glad we got to do it. It was a very quick project. We turned that around rather quickly, more so on their end than mine. But yeah, mm-hmm. it was fun to be able to do that and to be able to go to the party and see it and everything. It's sad. Like I'm like, oh, that's being dismantled somewhere now. Right. Like that's
oh, it's
that's being destroyed.
I wonder if they like keep like how, because you know they have to, they archive some a lot of this stuff, but there's probably a lot of stuff that they don't. How do they make those decisions? Like,
well, what's interesting about these backdrops was like the image itself was like fabric. If you looked close, it was like fabric that was sort of draped over that. I mean, it was tight. It was taut.
Yeah, yeah.
But you could see where the fabric was sort of wrinkled or not pulled tight. So mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, that'd be easy just to fold up and put away. Like, give it to us.
Make a blanket
out
of.
Yeah, totally.
Well, they, you know, they did a couple years ago that auction where they took over a department store and filled it with all these old Disneyland
memorabilia
props and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I wonder if, like, there's got to be some secret channels that exist that are like, before we get rid of this thing, do you want to buy it? Or, you know,
there's all this stuff with sort of a liability thing, because these things aren't meant to be handled. You know what I mean? Like, they can't just sell it, because then if someone gets it and gets hurt or breaks it or something like that, there's no recourse. I know a lot of things end up in people's hands, like, oh, we're just going to throw this away. Yeah, someone took it. and for a while, they talked about like those big banners at Wonderground. They were going to give it to us. They did auction some of those off at D23, but I think then I saw them once and they were just in the back. So it's like, not that I have space for a banner that size, but you kind of just want to have it.
It's an incentive to do really well so you can buy a house to fit that in like your opening.
We did have like area. At my other house, we did have one area that had high ceilings like that. I'm like, oh, we could totally put it there.
It's like right now the kitchen, I have the arcade unit.
Yeah, exactly. Like, exactly. So always nice to see that stuff live and in person. But yeah, I'm glad you got to go to that. All right. We're going very long here.
The other bit of work that you did recently, it's Star Wars The Last Jedi. Yeah. We want to talk about that real quick.
Sure.
So I'm interested in hearing this because this is like one of the most controversial Star Wars films,
by far, right? I think you can't even...
Well, I don't know. Rise of Skywalker is kind of up there,
too. But I think people like that one. Like, it seemed like the people who liked it really liked it, and the people that didn't like it, it wasn't as, like, okay. You know what I mean? Like, The Last Jedi seemed to really bring out the Star Wars.
Really polarizing?
Yeah.
So just being attached to that, or like, you know, being appointed this property or this film specifically, there's things that you got to consider, like, okay, how am I going to take this?
Right.
And like, you know, whether taking out your personal feelings from the film aside, like, you have to create something that people are going to want to buy. So like, did you have some sort of approach or a method to how you're going to tackle this, or there specific characters you wanted to include or even not include for those reasons?
So
I don't remember seeing any Canto Bite scenes.
Had Rose and we had the characters in it. To me, it was just like hitting the character. So everything I do is usually character based. So that's just what it is. It's just like going through the character list and making sure everyone's represented and things like that. Anything outside of the original trilogy for me is sort of extra. So whether it would be like doing the prequels or something like that, there's a little distance for me. What I liked about doing at least The Last Jedi was that some of the core characters were in there. So I did get to do Leia. I did get to do Luke and things like that. So that's really the end for me. That was the movie that I did like, The Last Jedi, but there were some things that I didn't care for too. So it's just about emphasizing the stuff that I think liked about that film and stuff like that. But that's kind of the challenge with everything you do. Some of it's more like, I was hoping to get Empire Strikes Back because that's my favorite one. But then that's sort of daunting too, to like get assigned the, like, what everyone is arguably called the best in the whole saga. Like, how do you do that and sort of satisfy absolutely everybody? So I don't know. Maybe expectations were a little lower with this film than it would have been with anything from the original trilogy or something. I think you just approach it like you do anything else, though, really.
I like that you included pink-haired Laura Dern.
Of course.
In there.
Had to.
That was fun.
Angry Poe. Had to do Angry Poe. Yeah.
What would you do if you had Empire?
I thought about that because when I first heard about it, I didn't know what movie I was going to get. We were all assigned a movie. Like, each artist was assigned a specific film.
Would you do like a scene or try and incorporate like the whole movie?
I would think I would try to do the whole movie because there's just too much to not to just focus in on one scene. Because mm-hmm. I think the one that they did Empire, I think it's just the bounty hunters. I might be wrong on that, but there's one that's just a bounty hunter because that's the one film that has all the bounty hunters in it,
right.
Which is great. I think it's a great piece because everybody loves the bounty hunters, but I'm like, oh, that's leaving out so much other amazing stuff, you know? But yeah. It'd be weird to just do like, I'm just going to do Bespin, you know, like you kind of have to do everything. I mean, it's got all the great locations like Hoth and Dagobah and stuff like that. So yeah, I definitely want to do that. So I don't know, but I was just, I'm always happy to do Star Wars work no matter what it came from. So,
you pronounce it Dagobah?
Dagobah, Dagobah, Dagobah. Mm. What is it? What would you say?
So fancy. I say Dagobah.
I can't remember what Ben said. Cause Ben says it one way and then Luke says it differently immediately after.
Well, Ben says everything.
You will go to the Dagobah.
Alec Guinness has his own
cadence.
Accent that is
for sure. For sure.
It's like Christopher Walken. No one else in the world speaks like them.
That's right. So yeah, that was great. I'm always happy to star stuff and happy to see it in that store too. So, all right, let's move on.
Exciting. Finish off with some therapy updates here.
I've been going pretty much every week. We've had a few weeks where it's been pushed like every 2 weeks. I think every 2 weeks is probably better. And I think usually they recommend that you go every week until you get to a point.
Why do you think that for you?
It depends on 1 week goes by very fast. And so I think it takes a little time to process what you did in the last thing and sort of prepare for what you're going to talk about in the next thing. I think therapy is going to be a very different experience for absolutely everybody. Obviously, I still highly recommend it to everybody to do it. I was trying to think it through because we are getting into some good areas finally. Like it's taken time to really get through to some very specific things. So I think you do need to give it time, even though like you feel like maybe, oh, this isn't what I thought it was going to be, or it's, you know, we're not getting there. But so much of it is up to you, even though you don't kind of realize that it's up to you. It's not about the therapist. It's about you and what you want to talk about. So he's not going to guess at what you want to talk about. But it kind of feels like you go into it thinking like, okay, tell me what to do, you know.
Do you feel like you can kind of insert it and steer the conversation a certain way?
To me, like I said before, I think it's like you bring all your toys and you dump it out on the table, right? So you're not saying like, well, I'm only going to bring this toy. I'm not going to bring that toy. And then it's sort of up to, I think, the therapist to sort of say, well, that's an interesting toy. Like, tell me about that toy. And you're like, oh, this is great. And so you go into your normal spiel and then they push a little bit further. And then you're like, oh, I love this toy because my dad gave it to me before he died. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like that kind of a thing. It's like I was thinking of it too. It's like if you had to write a review of a movie that you know really well, because we talk so much in our own heads, we think we know ourselves so very well because we spend so much time in our heads. And so like if someone said, okay, review Star Wars for me, you'd be like, okay, here's what it is and this is why I love it. And they're like, well, why do you like it? And you're like, well, it's because it's a great movie, you know, but why do you like it? And you're like, well, I guess because of this. You know, so like, but
does that get annoying for you in like in these sessions? Are they asking you specifically like the same question? Are they reiterating it a certain way? Are you aware that that is what's happening in the moment?
I oversimplified, obviously, for that example. It's not. Right. So it is sort of rephrasing, I think, the same question, because we're obviously trying to get it. And that's when you have the breakthroughs, because you go into it thinking like, I know how to answer this. I know what they're kind of looking for. And then you go one level below that. And now you're in the area that you don't either you don't ever talk about, or you only talk about it in your head and you've never said these things out loud. That to me is the thing. Like you've never said this out loud. You said it a million times in your head, but you've never vocalized it. So I think it's when you push down to that thing. And so there is a little bit of a push. Like they do have to push you because you've got a canned answer ready to go, you know?
Right.
So it's like that. Like, well, why do you like Star Wars? Well, I guess because my dad who died took me when I was 5, you know? And so then now you're getting into a little bit more of the weeds of things. And it's not always traumatic. It's just that you haven't talked about it and stuff. So it was interesting. We started actually talking about my art and why that, why cute stuff, why the approach. I won't go into the answers, but that was really interesting.
Juicy stuff.
Totally is. And so then I'm like really forced to think about it. And of course you're like, well, because I like cute things and stuff.
And he's gonna ruin your art career. Now you're gonna do a whole switch. Like, that's not why I do cute.
I hate cute.
Watch this.
I'm angry. again, I think there are waves of it within the therapy session. So you kind of have to stick with it. An hour goes by, like I said, very fast. So the minute you start getting into interesting stuff, the time is up. So you have to make notes to be like, okay, let's pick this up when you come back. So it does sort of force you to be more proactive and like, okay, I want to talk about this when we come back, you know, and you waste.
Are you able now, after doing so many sessions, able to like warm up quicker?
Yes. Because I think because the cost is so high per hour that you don't want to waste time, right?
Yeah.
And so if you blow through, if you burn through a few sessions where you're not really getting anywhere, that's up to you. And if you're choosing to sort of take the stance of like, figure me out, that's not gonna work. It's not like going to a doctor where they're gonna just be like, what are the symptoms, and then they do it. It's really up to you. And I think that's a hard thing to get to. You really have to break through. It's surprisingly hard. And I think you don't even realize it until you're actually forced to do it. And you should want to do it. That's why, like, don't go if you don't want to go, because you won't. If you put up a wall, then there's no point in paying that much money an hour just to be like, I know what I'm doing. You have to go into it like, I want to keep unpacking this stuff. And this kind of talk makes me super uncomfortable in general. I would never want to have these kind of conversations in public or like in a group setting, because I get all like squishy and embarrassed and uncomfortable about it, you know, like, and then you start saying these phrases that you hear in like pop culture so much, this sort of pop psychology that's cringy in the real world. But when you're doing it yourself, it makes a lot of sense. So, there's a little bit of getting over that for me to sort of relaxing into and saying like, look, this is why you're here, right? Like if you went to the play and you're like, oh, this is so theatrical, I don't like it. Like you have to get into that headspace. You have to be like, this is what it is, and like savor it. But again, I really recommend it. If you're thinking about it, if it's something that people think about, explore it, like see. But again, it's very expensive. I don't want to make it seem like it's just accessible to everyone. Maybe your insurance covers better than mine does, but if you can, I would recommend it.
I know that I listen to some podcasts and they do the BetterHelp ads.
Yes.
I have not done it, so I'm not advocating that, but I know that's a more affordable version of therapy.
I think a lot of that stuff is like gateway stuff, so like maybe you see but it does start there. You don't know, you're always going in blind. I don't think you can ever read someone's profile and be like, ah, this is the, you know, the therapist for me. Yeah, I think you really have to dive in.
How are you feeling, you know, when you first started versus where you're at now? I mean, you could speak generally but.
Good. So for a while, I was a little frustrated with it because I felt like we weren't making any progress, or we weren't getting it. Like we started off like gangbusters. Like I felt really good at the beginning. And then I'm like, oh, we're kind of in a lull. And but that's when I sort of made this realization that it's up to me. Like I have to push it. And then he can ask questions as you go down there, but if you don't ever show them that thing, they're not gonna know. So, again, I won't bore people with specifics, and that'd be just way too embarrassing. But it's interesting once you have to think about it and really be like, yeah, why do I draw these things? What is it about it? And like, it's like you have all the information, you know, but then you're like, oh, that's right, that's what it is, that's where it came from. I remember feeling this way in third grade and have felt the same ever since. And you can trace a lot of that stuff back to these things. Not always bad, you know, it's not always negative, but you're just like, oh, I remember that feeling and I'm still doing that today. So I don't know. To me, it's like, it's becoming less like we're going to fix these things and more like, oh, I understand where this comes from. And that's very helpful because, especially in this day and age where it's easy to be sort of cynical and angry all the time, to sort of kind of calm down and just be like, okay, I get where that comes from. I don't know. Have you thought any more about it? Are you getting any closer yourself? Like what is the main thing for you that literally keeps you from doing it?
the picking up the phone and doing it. So I've gone so far as to, so Psychology Today is a website where you can
vet. Yeah.
Like very, very like broad strokes vet some of these candidates that you will, or if you will, like it'll let you say like, oh, I want a female doctor, or I want somebody that specifically talks about
specializes, you know, or
this topic. So I've narrowed it down to what I think are like maybe two or three candidates.
Right. If I do this, these are the people I'm going to reach out to.
But I haven't reached out to them. So that's where I'm at right now. Yeah. And it's just like doing the thing is what's holding
absolutely
me back.
Absolutely. And I think that
I'm definitely open to it. I feel like it would be great for me. But yeah, it's just a matter of doing it. And I think that's sort of the scary part is that it's becoming more real.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a little intimidating.
Yeah, like a phase, right? You have to get past it. You know, what is interesting, though, too, with that is I was the same way. I did exactly the same thing. I researched them. I re-researched them. I bookmarked certain ones. And
that's where
I'm at. Like you're like, okay, I don't want to forget this one. One of the good things about the pandemic time is now everyone's doing sort of Zoom calls or telephone calls if you want. So I think it opens up who you can go to now. Maybe you're still local, but you're not going to drive to Los Angeles for it.
Right.
So, but now that they're all Zoom calls, it doesn't matter. You can do anywhere. The other thing,
I'd be so embarrassed of this if I were to do a Zoom call.
There's much worse they've seen. The other thing, though, I was going to say is that I did reach out. Like there were, I had like four picked out. I reached out to them. All of them were not taking clients. So. That is the other thing you have to worry about, because they won't post necessarily on their site that they're not taking clients. Right. Some do. But otherwise, you have to reach out and be like, are you taking clients? And so you're like balancing this with like the hourly cost and like all these other things. So I don't know. It's good to just jump in. But it is hard because you don't want to have to keep starting up and going through all your awful crap with a new person every time.
Right.
But I think you can't go wrong. The one that I went, he like works at a school, like at a university, and so I'm like, okay, that feels pretty, I don't know why that made me feel comforted, but like then I looked at one guy and he looked kind of young, and then he was like, he had only been doing it for like 3 years. I'm like, I think I want someone with more experience.
There's definite like weird whether things. It's warranted or not. I have those sort of prerequisites as well, like built in my head. It's like, oh, I definitely want somebody that's like 50 plus, and I definitely want them to be
male or female, you know, or have this It's hard because obviously anyone can help you, but if you have that in your head going into it, you're going to hold it against them. So you're going to be like, well, you don't know because you're only 12, you know? So, anyway,
it's like, I went to, trying to make it light, a little bit lighter here. I went to C's the other day to get like a chocolate gift for somebody. And there was like it looked like probably a retired person
working the counter
that is working at C's, like, you know, just to get some extra money in retirement.
That's gonna
or whatever.
Be me,
And she was taking orders from like a 30 something year old, probably because that just happened to be like her career path, where she's like a store manager at 30 versus a retiree like in her 60s.
Yep.
And to me, it's always that's so interesting to see, like, I don't remember her name, but like, hey, Judy, it's time for your break, like really stern and direct. And I'm like, be nice. She's your
a
elder.
A little respect for the elders.
It's such an interesting like dynamic. And it's not that either of them did anything wrong. It's a weird mental thing that I have that's like interesting when you see that sort of dynamic.
So I tend to be now, I'm at the edge where I'm most of the time I'm old. I'm kind of on the cusp, but I tend to be on the older side, obviously, of this thing, where most of the people I work with are probably younger than me, but they're still kind of around my age. Like, it's not odd, but I think you're more on the cusp now, where you're going to start seeing that shift of like,
oh, this is not real, sort of in line with what you're talking about, but like at the gym, I'll be called sir by somebody that in my head, I'm like, we're the same age.
Because the 23-year-old's like, oh my God, that guy's old, like 30-something or, you know. Oh, I get that all the time. I've relaxed into that now finally.
I hate it.
But yeah, they stop calling you bro or bud or dude or something like that. They start calling you, they're all
which
reverent.
Are equally annoying.
Right, but at least it feels like, okay. Yeah, it's weird how the age
like a peer.
Is. Yeah, like sometimes I don't mind it, and sometimes I'm like, ugh, I'm reminded of.
And I'm almost embarrassed to admit that kind of gets me.
How old do you think of yourself in your head? I'm like,
oh, I definitely feel like the age I am.
Do you?
So like mentally and in terms of like my interests and things like that, I probably would skew younger.
Yes.
But physically, my body is falling apart. Mm. So I feel aged on the physical side. And then now the bigger issue for me is like mentally, and I don't know if this is since I got my concussion, but like everything is a little bit more clouded.
Well, like, that could be potentially scary. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't think as clearly as I once did. And it's like I know that it's a little foggy.
Do you feel distracted or foggy?
Foggy.
Yeah, interesting.
For sure.
For me, and one of the main reasons I went to therapy was that the voices in my head are always there. I don't mean to sound like that. I just mean like, you know, there's a voice in your head that always says like, oh, you shouldn't have said that, or, you know, feel bad about yourself. But they've gotten louder over the years. Like, it didn't go away. So I think all of us have those voices in our heads. I think they probably ring out at different levels for everybody. But for me, it got like louder. It's almost like this fight is going on in my head. And so that's kind of what spurred me to go to therapy, because I'm like, oh my God, it's like an argument is taking place in my head. Like, feel this way. No, feel this way. Like, you know, that's an amazing job. Oh, you know, you shouldn't congratulate yourself too much. This can all go away tomorrow. It's like, oh, you're right. You're right. You're right. You know,
so you're
conflicted. Constantly conflicted.
You're being run by fear, anger, and disgust only.
Yes, completely. Those are definitely the loudest, the loudest ones for sure.
I wonder who is in my head the leader.
But isn't it, because to me, like, this is what we talk about in therapy all the time, is I'm like, there's a very rational me that I'm like, I know that this is not true, but that other voice is telling you so loudly that it's true, that it's hard
right
not to, you know. And so, you know, a lot of the therapy stuff is just sort of to calm down and listen and, like, you know, be like, okay, well, what is the fact here, as opposed to the, you know. But it's very hard because you've had these voices forever, I think. And so, yeah, it's difficult to silence them or to rationalize them in a way that lets you sort of coexist with. I don't think they ever go away. But and again, it's not like blaming your parents or something like that, but these things do come from somewhere. And I think once you kind of figure out where it came from, it's a little more manageable than just thinking like, oh my gosh, I'm acting like a crazy person. And I don't say that disrespectfully. Like, you feel like a crazy person sometimes. So I'm hoping that that's what I get out of it. And again, just having the conversation goes a long way to doing that. So anyway, let's wrap this up. We have gone very long. Anyway, we just wanted to jump on here and babble with you at the holiday times. We miss doing these sort of talky episodes. So it was nice to be able to do that again. Whatever you're doing this holiday season, I hope it's great. I wish everybody a Merry Christmas, whatever you celebrate and however you celebrate. I hope everybody is doing the thing they want to do this year as opposed to last year. And I don't know, this can be a rough year for people. So just hope everyone is doing well and maybe getting therapy if you need it. So anything you want to add before we wrap up here?
That's it. Thank you guys for listening. Happy holidays and probably Happy New Year. I don't think we'll be
probably. Yeah, I can guarantee that. So we hope to be back early in the next year too with some new interviews, which is really what this podcast is about. They're very difficult interviews to do logistically and just subject matter wise. So it takes a little longer for us to put these together. But we're trying to line up some stuff for next year, and hopefully we'll be back with more of those. So thank you everybody for listening, and we will see you again soon.
Would you like to ask Jared or Mark a question? Are you interested in advertising or sponsoring the show? Then send an email to podcast@squaredcostudios.com. Professionally Insecure is a Squared Co. Studios production. This episode was produced and edited by Mark Morris, with additional audio support from Sean Keenan.